Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Reaction Monday. Titans fall to 0-3 yesterday, 41-20 loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Now heading on the road for three straight weeks. We'll get back into the Titans in just a minute, but wanted to check on college football because there was some wins around local teams this weekend. Can't let the negativity bring us down. Tennessee, 56-24 win over UAB. And Parker, obviously you're much more in tune on the Vols than I am. The early offense for Josh Heupel has been just electric. I mean, every time I looked up in that game, I moved this weekend, so I was building a nightstand on Saturday afternoon watching those games. And every time I looked up at the TV, the Vols had scored another touchdown early on. Josh Heupel, and when it comes to game plans and just getting out in front of these inferior teams, for lack of a better term, teams that you should beat, he shows no mercy in the first quarter and into the second quarter, and that game was over before it even started.
Yeah, no, this was a classic. You know, Josh Heupel in Tennessee had a heartbreaking loss last week to Georgia. This is one of those opportunities where you don't have time to sulk. You got to go out and you got to gain some confidence and going into a tough environment this week in Starkville, Mississippi, to take on a Mississippi State team who is not getting enough love nationally, according to the AP poll. So it is great to see the early offense once again. And I think this just goes back to Joey Aguilar being able to run Josh Heupel's system the way Josh Heupel wants it. We didn't see that out of Nico last year. We didn't see it out of Joe Milton 2 years ago.
Yeah, and like you said, coming off the heartbreaking loss to Georgia, that's an easy letdown game. Facing UAB, that's not a team that you expect to come in and challenge you all that much. They came out, they put the pedal to the metal early, and they basically ended it before it even got going. Mississippi State coming up this week before a bye. It's a big game for Tennessee. If you can be 4-1 heading into the bye week, then you've got Arkansas, who lost to Memphis this weekend. And we'll talk about that later because Parker continues to beat me in the Monday headlines. And then third Saturday in October, going to Tuscaloosa on October 18th. So these are two good challenges for Tennessee to get themselves ready for what might be one of their, if not the most important games of the season for Tennessee coming up in just under a month. Do want to talk about Vandy and putting up 70 points on Georgia State. You can really tell that Vandy, they remembered that game from last year in Atlanta. I'm sure they talked about it all week. And they wanted to exact revenge in a big way. They scored 42 points in the first half, scored 70 in the game, despite Diego Pavia really not playing for the last quarter and a half. He came out for, I think, one drive in the second half. I was up there in the booth working most of the second half. But Diego Pavia looked good again, and this team rolled over Georgia State again, a team that beat them in Atlanta last season. That is the first time, as Parker mentioned in his update, since 1918 that Vanderbilt scored 70 points in a game. That 1918 game was a 76-0 win over the Tennessee Volunteers. Weird to say that Vandy beat Tennessee 76-0, but over 100 years ago they did, back in 1918. And Joey Dwyer, who does a great job for Vandy on SI, tweeted out a snippet from that 1918 season. And just to show you how long ago it was that Vandy scored 70 points in a game, there wasn't a single starting Vanderbilt quarterback for the entire 1918 season, as the team was impacted by the war and the Spanish flu pandemic, with former quarterback Ray Morrison serving as an interim coach and starting quarterback for some games before falling ill himself. Legendary quarterback Irby Rabbit Curry had died in combat in August 1918.
What a name. Can you repeat that name one more time?
Irby Rabbit Curry.
Irby Rabbit Curry.
Yes.
Sounds like something I'd get at a restaurant.
He had died in combat in August 1918, so he couldn't play quarterback for Vanderbilt that season. Unbelievable. That is the last time that Vanderbilt scored 70 points in a game, because there were plenty of 60s. It was part of my job for the radio broadcast. I was scrolling through to find the last time they scored 70. Lots of 60s, 67, 68. They even scored 63 2 years ago against Hawaii, but this was the first time scoring 70 since 1918, and they beat the brakes off Georgia State in that game. really impressive from Vandy. This is a Vanderbilt team that you can just see the depth and the improvement in talent over the last couple of years. And a lot of that is some of the New Mexico State guys they brought in, Diego and Eli Stowers and MK Young. And you've got Tim Beck, who, as an offensive coordinator, some of the stuff that he does and the way he schemes things up, he does such a great job, especially with the personnel that he's so accustomed to, having worked with Diego for 4 years now. But the defense is what started to impress me the most, is that defensive line is deep. You've got good corners. You've got good safeties. You've got good linebackers. Like, this is a Vandy team that I know a lot of people out there are kind of still brushing off. Like, I think people are still trying to give the same old Vanderbilt excuse of like, oh, eventually they're going to prove that they're still Vanderbilt. I don't know about that. This is a big week. This is a big week because you do have to face a Utah State team that is, Utah State's a better team than Georgia State is. Utah State has competed. They lost to Auburn. That's their only loss. I think they beat McNeese this week, 48-7. So this is going to be a tougher matchup than Georgia State. And also mentally, it is a little bit tougher to get locked in for this game when, you know, obviously for Georgia State, you had the revenge factor there of we want to beat this team because they beat us last year and shocked us in Atlanta. You don't have that with Utah State. There's not the natural bulletin board material for you. And it also is a week before you head to Alabama for what is it crazy to say that game day could end up being in Tuscaloosa that
week?
Yeah,
game day could eventually be in Nashville when Vandy plays LSU. That's a possibility.
There is a chance, and it's unlikely, partially because of the way game day chooses their games. And, you know, just as Vandy had their chip on their shoulder for this Georgia State game, Alabama is going to be locked in on that Vanderbilt game.
Oh, yeah. When was the last time we said Alabama had Vandy circled on their schedule?
Like, Alabama has this Vandy game circled 8 times in red ink because they want to get that revenge like Vandy did with Georgia State this past week. But there is an outside chance that the Vanderbilt Commodores have back-to-back games where game day is in attendance. Like, if it works out, I haven't really looked at some of the other games that weekend, but if it works out that Vandy gets game day goes to Alabama for that game coming up next week, and there are a couple other good options like Miami, Florida State's that week, so unlikely, but it could go there, and Vandy beats Alabama, you might have a top 10 matchup between LSU and Vandy here in Nashville.
It's certainly a possibility. I still don't even think Vanderbilt's getting enough love by the AP because are there 17 better teams that have a better resume right now than Vanderbilt? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think there's still a little bit of logo scouting going on.
100%. Like, 100%.
And we've gone through some of the snafus, the errors with the AP poll this year. Like, now that it's kind of widely available to see everybody's ballot and some of the mistakes that are being made, Vandy can put all that away if they beat Alabama in 2 weeks. But first one is Utah State. They got to beat Utah State, but I was really impressed with the way Vanderbilt played on Saturday. 70 points. Again, for the first time in over 100 years.
Yeah, by the way, this is a little bit off topic, but they announced Tennessee's rotating 3 schedule opponents for the new SEC schedule.
Yep.
Alabama, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
There you go. I think that would be the 3 that I would guess, right?
I'm a little mad. I'm actually a lot of mad that Florida's not on.
Right. I was going to say Florida. I think the question would be Florida or Kentucky, right? Like, Alabama's
even Georgia. I wanted Georgia on there too.
Alabama and Vandy, I think, are must because you play Vandy rivalry weekend after Thanksgiving every year. That one's going to stay. Alabama, third Saturday in October. You can't change that. So the question was the third one. I think Kentucky makes sense geographically, but yeah, historically, Florida or Georgia may have made a little more sense.
I would have been fine with Florida instead of Kentucky, and you have Alabama, Florida, Vanderbilt. Georgia is probably number 3 on that list for me just because they're the big 3 that Tennessee talks about every year. But I get it. Vanderbilt, the in-state rivalry, okay, kick Georgia to the side. But Florida has to be in there. Has to be.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Trey wants to get back on the Titans here. Trey, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, I believe that I really feel bad for Miss Amy because she takes people at their word, you know, that they're good at what they do. I'm sure she didn't do the due diligence in finding out who's a good fit for the team as far as the front office. I feel real bad for her that she got bamboozled into picking these people that evidently don't have a clue what they're doing, how to run an organization, how to put a good product out there on the field, to draft a player that was considered 3 months before to be a comp of Tyrod Taylor. And then they're going to throw Lewis Riddick in there to pump him up to say, yeah, this is what I believe. No, she got bamboozled. I really feel sorry for her. And it all goes back to her. What is she going to do? She can't keep her head in the sand. We got to do something. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Trey. Again, we went through the whole Cam Ward thing earlier in the show that I understand there was the one comp of saying a better Tyrod Taylor is what Cam Ward is being compared to. And I will take no Tyrod Taylor slander here, by the way. But
no more hokey slander around these parts.
It's already bad enough. They did win on Saturday. They got a win over Wofford.
There we go.
No longer a zero in the win column for Virginia
Tech. I'm
pretty
sure Wofford still runs the triple option. I could be wrong, but I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't Tech did not cover.
Did you watch the game?
I did not. Okay. I did not watch a second of that game, actually. There were better things for me to do on my Saturday than watch the 0-3 Virginia Tech Hokies take on Wofford. I think the Cam stuff, like any GM with the number one pick who needed a quarterback was going to take Cam Ward this year. Like it was that is how he was regarded around the league. That's why the Giants tried to trade up. But I also do understand Trey's point of like some of these guys who Amy is relying on have proven that they're not very good at their job. Brian Callahan's the one we're talking about now, but like Chad Brinker hired Brian Callahan, and it seems like he is absolved of blame right now. I'm not really understanding it. I saw, and I always forget who tweeted things, but I did see somebody speculated, what if Chad Brinker is just using Brian Callahan as a meat shield this year so that he doesn't end up being next on the chopping block?
Don't get me started on Chad Brinker, man.
Yeah. He's going to be the next one in line. If they fire Callahan, like, it's not going to be Cam yet. It's not going to be Borgonzi yet. It's going to be Chad Brinker. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get back to college football here for a little bit longer. Vandy and the Vols, both with big wins over the weekend. Both with big games coming up this week. Vandy trying to get to 5-0. Vols trying to head into the bye week 4-1. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's give something away. Be caller number 3 right now at 615-737-7102.5, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning in a preseason game tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. That is caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. We're talking a little college football. We'll get back to the Titans in just a minute. Obviously, lots to unpack with the Titans' third straight loss and a bad one over at Nissan Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Titans hit the road for 3 straight, and we'll have more thoughts on Brian Callahan, Cam Ward, and much more later on. But we did see wins from the local teams this weekend. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, both able to get big, pretty convincing wins over UAB and Georgia State. And we touched on it a little bit last week about how, hey, this could be a setup where we see both these teams playing with a chance to go to the college football playoff in November. And I really think we are heading towards that scenario fast. Vandy's got to keep winning, and this is a big one this week. you have to be able to beat Utah State on your home field. And I think I just saw they're 22.5-point favorites right around there. So you have to be able to win that game. You can't have a letdown. But a real good chance that you head to Alabama 5-0 as a top 15 team in the country. And to get into the playoff, you probably need 10 wins. There's an outside shot with 9 because Vandy does have a good strength of schedule. They got a lot of tough games on there. But I think you need 10 wins to get into the playoff. And I know we're going to get texts of saying Vandy's not going to go to the playoff. Right now, with the way they're playing and their resume, they are firmly in the mix. So I think they are real playoff contenders. They flex their muscles on Georgia State on Saturday, got some revenge. You need 10 wins. So if we map this out, the three home that are more winnable games for Vandy, I guess, for a lack of a better term, because LSU is a top five team in the country. I don't think you can, you know, circle that one as a win. But Auburn, Kentucky, Missouri, coming to Nashville, those are games you have to win if you want to make the playoff. You beat Utah State, there you go, you're at 8 wins. If you can win one of the other three between Alabama, LSU, and Texas, that means Vandy could be 9-2 when they go to Neyland to take on Tennessee in November. And again, it's going to take a lot, but right now, you can't argue that Vandy is not in playoff contention with how they've played so far. I mean, they are not just beating teams, they are crushing teams. Outscored Virginia Tech 34-0 in the second half to win that game. They beat South Carolina, again, without Lenora Sellers for the second half, but they beat South Carolina 31-7 in Columbia. And then you put up 70 on Georgia State, a team that beat you last year. Again, I still wouldn't say it's likely. If you ask me, does Vanderbilt make the playoffs right now, I would probably say no. But I do think that anyone who says there's not a chance of it is crazy, because from what we've seen from Vanderbilt, they have played really good football early on. They beat Alabama last year. They took Texas down to the wire last year. If they can just win one of those three games between Alabama, LSU, and Texas, and win the games that you match up better on paper with, which that's not an easy task either, but those games are at home. You win those games, you have a good chance to go to Neyland with a chance to play your way into a playoff spot in November.
Did anybody think Indiana was going to make the playoff last year?
Right.
I mean, there no predictions are crazy in August. Vanderbilt could they have one of the best, I would go out to say they have one of the top 10 best resumes in the country through 4 weeks. So this Vanderbilt team is legit. The only reason the AP poll doesn't have them higher is because of that Vanderbilt logo.
Right.
And they weren't invited to the party in the preseason, like, you know, Illinois and Alabama and Georgia. It's just because they're Vanderbilt. Just because they woke up and they're Vanderbilt. They didn't wake up as Texas.
Right.
So
it's logo scouting. And I think if you had the AP poll voters just look at blind resumes and rank them, Vandy would be ranked higher in the AP poll than they are. Matthew in Nashville says, Vandy is not a playoff team, Jake. This station needs to pump the brakes on that. Beating a crappy Virginia Tech team that fired their coach 2 weeks later and an overhyped South Carolina team are not the impressive wins you think they are. South Carolina, you can say they're overhyped now because Vandy beat them. Like, that is, and I know they lost to Missouri this weekend too. But, like, I don't get why every time Vandy beats someone, it's more about the problems with the other team than it is about how good Vanderbilt is.
Jake. And it's the V logo.
And I just know, again, we talked about how Alabama's going to have that Vanderbilt game circled. And Vandy is too. Like, Vandy wants to win that game bad, I'm sure. But you just look at Alabama, and they're not going to be sleepwalking into that one for sure against Vandy in a couple of weeks. I just know that the narrative, if Vandy does lose and maybe loses by a couple touchdowns, which is, it's possible. Tuscaloosa is a tough place to go win, and Alabama obviously is one of the most talented teams in the country. If Vandy loses that game by a couple touchdowns, all of the talk is going to be, oh, well, Vandy is who we thought they were. But I think even if Vandy loses that game, has LSU looked all that impressive to you, Parker?
Not on offense, no.
Like,
That Clemson loss looks more or less impressive by the week.
I think that Vandy LSU game is going to be fun. And even if Vandy loses to Alabama, I think there's a good chance that Vandy can reestablish themselves as a college football player contender, even if they lose to Alabama. Again, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Richie from White House says, I 100% think Vandy can compete with some of the higher-ranked teams. Just look at Clemson. They were favorites to win the national championship, and now who knows if they'll make it. Vandy, based off of how they are playing right now, could go beat a team like Clemson or even Texas. Right. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah. It's Vanderbilt plays Texas.
Right.
I can't wait.
They play Texas later on this season. I mean, that Clark Lee and the job that he's done with this Vanderbilt team does not get enough credit. And... I just want to shout them out. And to take this team, to take this program from a team that lost 10 straight games 2 years ago to a team that is likely going to be 5-0 heading to Alabama as a legitimate playoff contender in 2 years is nothing short of miraculous. Chip from Mount Juliet says, I'm making a prediction now. If Vandy beats Bama, DeBoer is gone. Agreed. Like, I don't think...
Oh, boy.
I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going to survive... losing back-to-back games to Vandy.
2-3 Alabama?
Yeah.
If they lose to Georgia and then lose to Vanderbilt, a 2-3 Bama losing to Vanderbilt in back-to-back years?
How about the games we got this weekend? Penn State, Oregon, Alabama, Georgia. If Alabama is 2-2 and Vandy goes in and beats them, I don't see how Kalen DeBoer can hold on to that.
I pray for all my brothers that are being dragged to fall weddings this weekend. It's just truly it's a crime.
No,
it's a crime.
It is, and that is why my wedding is in the spring. I told
smart man.
People will say like you're being childish saying you don't want a fall wedding. It's not for me because obviously on my wedding day, like I'm not going to care about college football. But it's for my guests. I have most of my friends and family members are big football fans, and you know I know they'd come, but why not do it in the spring when there's no football?
They'd come kicking and screaming, but they would be there.
Yes, yes, they would. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Redemption. Does that sound right? Predemption?
Predemption?
In the YouTube chat says, I'd love me some Brian Kelly postgame if Vandy beats LSU. Yeah. The postgame podium / table where he's speaking would not be safe. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. We're going to revisit our Monday headlines coming up next because mine was horrible. Parker's was pretty good. We'll do it next. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today prior to the Monday Night Football game. Head up there and watch the Lions and Ravens, plus ask about Circa's giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans and Raiders game in October. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Titans falling yesterday, 2-0-3, 41-20 the final score. We will spend the entire final hour of the show on the Titans, but a couple more thoughts on college football. Parker, I may have had the worst Monday headline guess of all time.
I forgot what it was. Can you remind me?
I picked Tulane to beat Ole Miss. And, whew, did Lane Kiffin make me look stupid. I didn't even see what the final score on that one was, but I was up in the press box at Vandy, and they had that game up on the TV. And just like what I was saying, every time I looked up, Tennessee was scoring. It felt like every time I looked up, Ole Miss was scoring again. Final score, 45-10. So I was way off on my Monday headline guess. I also picked the Titans to win, and I picked Chim Dike to have a return for a touchdown. He found a seam once or twice early there. Obviously, didn't end up working out. So I was a big oafer on my Monday headlines. Parker, I need you to be more confident in your takes here. You picked Memphis to cover, but not win outright. They came back. They beat Arkansas. They win that game outright. You got to go all in when you're making these Monday headline picks.
Here's the thing. I've never made a wrong prediction that wasn't screwed up by the players. I blame Arkansas for fumbling. Yeah. They had a chance to win the game.
Right.
I didn't like the spread. I think Arkansas was favored by 7.5 last time I checked. I thought that they would win by 3 points, a field goal. They had an opportunity to do that, but they fumbled. So not my fault.
Yeah,
not my fault.
I was way off, but you were not only right, you could have been even more right if you had picked Memphis to win. Other big scores from around college football: Miami beats Florida 26-7. Billy Napier's offense continues to struggle. Indiana 63-10 over Illinois.
Just a complete TV MA special
there. Yeah, Kurt Cignetti turned that one up. Oklahoma beats Auburn in the Jackson Arnold Bowl. Auburn was in that for a little bit. And I mentioned again, I watched a decent amount of this game. Cam Coleman, I think, is going to be a stud at the next level. I would love for the Titans to find a way to get him.
He is a stud, but man, I'm not saying this is the reason Auburn lost, because I thought Oklahoma was the better team, but Auburn got hosed by the refs.
Right. The SEC had to put out a statement basically saying, like, yeah, we messed this up, and it should have been a 15-yard penalty. Instead, it was a touchdown. So tough for Auburn. Matthew in Nashville asks, who do you and Parker thinks gets fired first? Billy Napier, Luke Fickle, Mike Gundy, or Sam Pittman?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think it's got to be Napier, right? He's got, what, a $20 million buyout?
Florida Boosters will find
Right, that's what I'm saying. Florida, it's not Jimbo level.
Sam Pittman is going to be gone after this year, too.
I mean,
I hate to say it.
I don't think any of those guys keep their jobs beyond this
Luke
year, right?
Fickle, it's just been rough, because I think he's a good head coach. I mean, Wisconsin has no identity. And
right.
They used to have a great one, and now they don't. So that's a good question.
Well, and
who's the other coach?
Mike Gundy, who it's like he probably should have been gone a while ago. It's like Oklahoma State just seems to be fine in this holding pattern of just keeping him. But I think eventually the time is going to run out.
That's another program we need to have a funeral for.
Yeah. Yeah. We had the Hokies funeral last week. I'm thinking Napier gets fired first. I mean,
that's fair.
Heading into this year, you were thinking that was going to be an electric offense with DJ Lagway running the show and the way they finished last year. And back-to-back games, I understand you're playing tough teams. Like back-to-back top five games on the road against LSU and Miami. That's not easy. But to put up 17 points total in those two games, tough.
Before week three, there were 120 teams that threw five picks or less. 120 teams. And DJ Lagway did that in a single game against LSU.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. If you would have told me that DJ Lagway, Arch Manning, and Lenore Sellers are not even playing like top 10 quarterbacks in their own conference?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have believed you.
Right. We had a whole segment right before the season started about how deep the first round of quarterbacks could be this year. We're like, man, if the Titans get a top 5 pick, which it looks like they're going to, like, they could trade back because there's going to be so many quarterbacks that teams are, and I know DJ Lagway is not eligible, but like Sellers hasn't been great. Nussmeier, he's been fine. It's not like he's been horrible, but he hasn't shown that he deserves to be the number one overall pick.
Nope.
Cade Klubnik, Clemson's 1-3. Drew Aller really has yet to be challenged a whole bunch, but like this will be a big week. Honestly, if you're looking for a quarterback, Dante Moore is eligible this year, right? Like he can enter the draft, right?
He could, but I imagine he's going to come back for another year.
I guess he comes back, but like
he'll be the Heisman favorite, I think.
He's been one of the most impressive guys so far this year, and we'll see Aller and Dante Moore go back and forth this week in that game between Penn State and Oregon. But man, it's like the quarterback class of this year, and that's why you take Cam Ward, because you look ahead and you're like, maybe Arch Manning, maybe Nussmeier, maybe Sellers. And it does seem like Sellers, based on traits, might end up being the number one overall pick. But you don't know what next year's quarterback class is going to look like.
Cade Klubnik is in that class. They polled a bunch of NFL scouts and executives, and Lenore Sellers was the favorite to be the first quarterback selected. I think Nussmeier was second.
And hey, last year we all thought it might be Carson Beck going number one.
Carson Beck is in there now.
Carson Beck's starting
to
sneak his way back towards first-round conversations. I mean, I don't know if he is going to get taken all that high, but I think he's a guy that somebody is going to make a bad decision and take a flyer on him in the second or third round, which, as we've pointed out, usually does not work out. Jalen Hurts might be the last one that's worked out in the last 10 years. And I know there are other success stories, like Drew Brees was a second-round pick. Derek Carr was a second-round pick. So, like, there have been quarterbacks who have come out and been good, but for the most part, if you're taking a day-two quarterback, they don't seem to work out very often. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any college football thoughts, 2438 says, Wisconsin is trying to play Cincinnati-style offense without the type of players that Cincinnati had. You have to run an offense based on the players you have. Yeah, it's been bad for Luke Fickell. And that's – it's tough because I really liked him, and it felt like he was waiting on the right opportunity to leave Cincinnati, and Wisconsin felt like such a good fit.
Oh, man.
And it's just – it's – you just never know. Like, that's it's the same thing with Brian Callahan and the Titans right now. It's like, you can love a hire when it's made. And I think pretty much universally, Titans fans were pretty pleased with the Brian Callahan hiring. They'd be They'd be pleased with the firing.
We'll get there.
I think Titans fans liked the Callahan hire when they made it, but because it made sense. You finally got an offensive guru head coach, and you felt like he could develop a young quarterback, and it just hasn't worked out with either of the quarterbacks so far that he's been tasked with developing. So you just never know until the guy gets in the chair whether they can actually do it.
And look at their remaining schedule. They may not win a game. They may not win a game the rest of the year. Wisconsin by far has the toughest schedule in the Big Ten, I think.
Yeah. No.
3-9, a possibility, likely possibility. 2-10.
It's a good question from Matthew in Nashville. Napier, Fickell, Gundy, Pittman, who gets fired first? I think it's Napier is the easy answer, but I think by January, all four of those guys will be gone.
Yep.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. I have a baseball topic I need to get to, and I understand it's a Titans Monday. We're going to spend the entire last hour on Titans, but what is going on in Major League Baseball right now is historic, and it's not being talked about enough. We'll do it next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, wrapping up hour number two on the program. Titans falling 41-20 to the Colts at Nissan Stadium yesterday. Now 0-3 on the year. We will get to the Titans for the full final hour of the show. But I have a baseball topic I have to get to here. And this is something that I allude to the Tigers a lot on the show because I am a Tigers fan, but I wouldn't spend a whole segment on this if it wasn't something that is absolutely historic going on. The Tigers led the AL Central by 15 games at one point during the summer. They led the Guardians by 15 and a half games. That lead is now one game. 12 days ago, on September 10th, the Detroit Tigers led the AL Central by 9.5 games. It is down to one. I mean, the Tigers have collapsed. They've lost 9 of their last 10 games, which is beside the point. The Cleveland Guardians, I have never seen anything like what they are doing right now. They finally lost yesterday, but they had won 10 straight games, and over an 18-game span of baseball, they allowed 28 runs in 18 games. The next closest was like in the 60s. I have never seen anything like this. It is going to go down as the largest deficit overcome in baseball history when the Guardians eventually overtake the Detroit Tigers this week.
You think it'll happen?
I have no doubt it's going to happen. The way the Tigers are playing right now and the way the Guardians are playing, these two teams play three games, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. And unless the Tigers can somehow win 2 out of 3, then it's over. The Guardians are going to win the division. It would be the worst collapse in MLB history. 14 games is the previous record, I think. 14 and a half is the previous record of most games overcome to come back and win the division. I've never seen anything like it. I just had to get that off my chest. Like, it is... And every time it feels like the Tigers have turned the corner, like Kerry Carpenter hit a home run last week, tied the game in the 9th inning. They ended up giving up 4 runs in the 10th to blow it. Then on Saturday, Tigers take the lead with a home run to make it 5-3. They give up 3 runs in the 8th and 9th and lose. Like, and that was to the Braves, by the way. So any Braves fans out there, the Tigers couldn't even beat Atlanta, who I know is having a tough year. So anyway, I have kind of gone numb to it because, like, I just can't believe what I've been watching for the last 2 weeks. 9.5 games. That was the lead. Literally less than 2 weeks ago. And it's down to 1. And if the Guardians had won yesterday, they'd be tied. Like, it is, I've never seen anything like it. And I know baseball doesn't get a whole lot of run around here because there's no MLB team in town. But, like, I know there are people who follow baseball around here. And I just wanted to put it out there that what we are watching may have never been done before. And I cannot believe that the Tigers, who had the best record in baseball at the trade deadline or at the All-Star break, are probably going to miss the playoffs. And even if they do make it, they're going to have to play in a wild card series. It is
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Crazy to think about. So I know there's not always just one thing to pinpoint it to, but if you had to pick the reasons why this is happening, what would you say?
The Guardians have made some sort of deal that has allowed them to not lose a game. I don't know.
A deal with the devil, maybe?
Yeah, there's some devil magic going on there in Cleveland.
Some black magic.
What
everybody likes to refer to, the Chiefs. So whatever voodoo, witchcraft they had going on.
Yeah, and I really don't understand how they've gotten here. Jeff Tuttle on X says, we saw the complete reverse of this by the exact same team last year. Yeah, the Tigers last year in August had a 0.2% chance to make the playoffs, and they did it. This year, at one point, FanGraphs was rounding up to a 100% chance to make the playoffs, and they're probably going to miss it. Gino says, Tigers doing Tigers things. Tigers fan since I was a kid. Detroit team setting the wrong records. Tough being a Michigander for all four major sports. Yeah, somehow I ended up picking the Tigers and the Titans as my team, so, you know, double whammy. I cannot believe. Because, you know, you go through in your head when you're a baseball fan and your team's in the lead. All right, like, if the team chasing us wins all of their games, how bad can we be to still make the playoffs? Like, that's, it goes through my mind of like, all right, well, if we lost, if we go 2-8 here and they still won all 10, we'd still lead the game by this many games, or lead the division by this many games. I didn't think it was actually going to happen like that. To blow a 9.5 game lead in 2 weeks is historically bad, and they've still got a chance. Like, it's tough to feel like it's over when the team is still in first place, and you've got a chance to go control your own destiny against that team this week on the road. But it feels over, and I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, as bad as the Titans have been, and I know we're all mourning how bad it's been for the last 3 weeks, I'm also dealing with my baseball team setting the record for maybe the worst collapse.
And Virginia Tech? On top of that, Jake, I mean,
I don't know what I did. Like, what did I do to be stuck like this?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, do you need me to get you some tissues at the break? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, we did the funeral for Virginia Tech last week. I guess I'm doing the funeral for the Tigers right now.
So they changed the way the postseason is constructed. So only 6 teams will make it from the NL, 6 teams make it from the AL.
So it was 4 for the longest time. It was the 3 division winners and 1 wild card team. Then they added the wild card game, so it was the 3 division winners, and 2 wild cards would play a 1-game play-in to get into the divisional series. And then after COVID, they changed it to 6 teams. Top 2 division winners get a bye, and then 3 wild card teams. The Tigers also had like a 95% chance to have a bye, and now it is less than 1% chance to have a bye. So they're going, if they do make the playoffs, they're playing in the wild card series too.
This is crazy we're even talking about this.
No, I understand. Like, I know that there are probably a lot of people who don't want to hear about this, but I just had to put it out there of how historically bad this is right now.
They were a shoe-in, I feel like, at the All-Star. They were a shoe-in.
Well, they also made 2 trades for starting pitchers who had 5.5 ERAs when they traded for them, and Chris Paddock and Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton got DFA'd yesterday, because it is funny. You trade for pitchers with 5.5 ERAs. It's almost like they have 5.5 ERAs when they pitch for you too. It's weird how that works. Anyway, I'm not going to drag this out much longer. I just had to bring it up because this isn't just it's not just a Detroit story. This is not just a Cleveland story. This is a national story of one of the worst collapses in all of sports in history is going on right now. And we'll see. There's 1 week left. if the Tigers can somehow hold off the Guardians and get into the playoffs, we'll see what happens. But it has been the last 12 days. It's almost like it's a nightmare. I cannot believe what is going on right now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. That's all the baseball talk for me today. We are going to get back into the Titans in the final hour of the show. A headline that gets swept under the rug because we watched the Titans play so horribly yesterday. Tavondre Sweat re-injures his ankle in practice and has to go on IR. That is a huge loss for the Titans. And we saw it yesterday with Jonathan Taylor pinballing off tacklers and scoring three touchdowns, having another great game. So Titans going to be without Tavondre Sweat. Also, you know, we put a lot of the blame on Brian Callahan. We got to talk about that pick six from Cam Ward a little bit further because that set the tone for the day. Michael Pittman said that the pregame walkout set the tone for the day, but on the third play of the game, when you throw a walk-in pick six, it wasn't going to go well for the Titans at home yesterday. So we'll talk about all of that coming up next. Also, a thought on Calvin Ridley, because the Titans need more from a guy they're paying $92 million over 4 years. Jake Lyman and Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. More Titans reaction coming up next in the final hour of the show here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.